All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and we'll start tonight in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Don't forget the business meeting. That was the other thing. I was standing here thinking, there's one more announcement. I know there's one more. There's one more. What is it? And then I thought, okay, you paused too long. We're having a meeting. Yeah. Thanks, John. I don't know what I'd do without you, buddy. Yeah, it is. All right. 1 John chapter 5. All right, you ready? Let's look at verse 9. And I want to show you a couple things tonight. I hope we'll be a blessing to you. Hope will help you. All right, if you look at verse 9, John says, in this, as he closes out the book here, he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now, do you know why that is? Because men can lie. All right, they cannot tell you the truth, as we're seeing, all right? So if we receive the witness of men, I mean, you know, John says, somebody will tell us something and we'll believe it. But wait a minute, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. I want to speak to you tonight, starting right there, and I'm going to entitle our study tonight, Believing the Record. Believing the Record. Folks, if we don't believe the record that God has given us, which, by the way, is right here in my hand, it's also in your lap. It's called your Bible. And if we don't believe this record, then what are you going to believe? I mean, your only other alternative is man. And we know that's not going to work. All right? So believing the record. John says here that we have the witness of God. What is that? Well, it's the record. We have the record. It was given to us by God Almighty. And here it is. He that believeth on the Son of God, verse 10, hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made God a liar. Because God said he's the record. God said he's the one that has the truth. And so if you deny that, then what you're doing is you're making God the bad guy. And that's not going to work. All right, so let's pray. And then you keep your Bible open here. We're going to turn back to Genesis, of course, in just a minute. But starting here with John's point about believing the record. Let's pray real quick. Father, thank you now for the Word of God, and I pray that you will bless us. Help me tonight as I speak, and I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and guide and direct what I'm about to say. And Father, I also pray that you will fill those listening with your Spirit. And Father, help us to get the point tonight and to see the point tonight. We need to understand that your record is true. What you say in the record is true. And so, Father, as Paul said in the book of Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. So, Father, help us to trust your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we have started looking over the last couple of weeks at Noah and the ark that that God called him to build. And we started out in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we learned in the seventh verse of that faith chapter that by faith, Noah, being warned of God, et cetera, et cetera. And so when God warned him then of the wrath and the judgment that was coming, we learned last week that Noah believed God's word. God spoke to him and told him what was coming and what he needed to do about it, and he believed God's word. Now, I'm sure that when God told him that that ark was to be 450 feet long, and it was to be so many feet wide and so many feet deep, I'm sure that Noah looked at him and said, "Really? I mean, think about that, folks. Now, that was a monumental task that Noah was asking, or God was asking Noah to do." But Noah did not argue with God. Instead, we're told he believed God and did what God asked him to do. Now, here in 1 John chapter 5, we are told that salvation is believing the record of God that God gave his Son. It is putting faith. It is believing in the record that God has given us. What is that record? It is the Bible. It is the Word of God. It is the gospel. And we are told over and over and over in the Bible about this gospel. And we're supposed to believe it. God does not say, if it's convenient for you. No, he says that you must be born again. He's not suggesting that we be born again. He is saying you must be born again. That's the record. You've got to believe the record. You see, there was no difference between Noah and us. Noah was given the word of God. We have been given the word of God. Noah believed the word of God. We are to believe the word of God. He had nothing. Noah had nothing to go on but the word of God. And he believed in that word. He acted upon the word of God, and he was saved as a result of believing the word of God. Folks, there is only one way of salvation, and that one way is by faith in the word of God concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me further give you something on this. This has brought confusion. People say, oh, they were saved by their works in the Old Testament. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. You remember, Paul said in the book of Ephesians that it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's not just in the New Testament, that's Old Testament as well. What's the Bible record about Abraham? It says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so, what does the Bible say to us? It in Romans 10, whosoever believeth in him, in Christ, shall be saved. All right, it's the same method of salvation in the Old Testament as it is for the New Testament. You say, well, Pastor, how could that be? Well, here's how it was. Back here in the Old Testament, they had the record. You remember that when Adam sinned in Genesis 3:15, God told him about a Redeemer that was coming. And he was to tell his son, And then his son was to tell his son. And then his son was to tell his son. And it was to continue that way until every man born in this world knew that God was going to send a Redeemer to rescue fallen man. All right? And so they had the record. They had the promise. So back here in the Old Testament, they are looking forward to the cross. All right? They're looking by faith forward to the cross. Today in 2020, we stand over here in the New Testament in the church age, and we look back at the cross. And remember that none of us were there. I wasn't there. You weren't there. No, John. Well, John, you were born just after that, weren't you? Yeah, a couple of years. You see the point, folks? It doesn't make any difference whether you're Old Testament or New Testament. We are saved by faith. Faith is what redeems us. Believing. Faith is just believing what God said he would do. And that's, we need to get that square in our minds. Whether the Old Testament saint believed what God said, whether it was Adam, whether it was Abel, whether it was Noah, whether it was Abraham, it was faith in the record of Jesus Christ, who is the eternal word of the living God. Don't forget that. So it's faith in the record. All right, does that make sense to everybody? All right, now, let's go back to Genesis 6. And upon that principle and upon that foundation tonight, I want us to continue on. I want to make one more point and before I get into tonight's lesson. This was something I meant to say last week, and I got home and I went, oh, man, I didn't say that. But I needed to say that. All right, look at chapter 6 and verse 16. It says in verse 16, a window. One, a window. All right, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. In other words, it sat on the top of the boat so they could look out, so they could see what was going on outside. It says, and the what?
Door.
The door. Not doors. All right? The door. How many doors?
One.
One. One door. Now, I want you to remember, I emphasized this two Wednesday nights ago. I want you to remember that Noah had zero input. Amen. All right? Zero. He made no recommendations to God about the design or the building of the ark. None. All right? So remember that. Noah, God did not say, hey, Noah, let me get your opinion on this ark thing. No, God knew exactly what he wanted. He knew exactly how it was to be built. And it was God who gave all the instructions as to how it was to be built. And notice, there was only one door in the ark. I am so glad that this command, that this event and this command did not happen today. Because the Carroll County Planning Commission would have had a fit over the fact that there was just one door. They would not have liked to, and there was no elevator. So I guarantee you they would not have been happy with the plan. All right? They would have wanted exits on both sides, probably on at least two exits on each side, and they would have wanted lifeboats and life preservers and life rafts and all the rest, and it would just have been a huge mess if man had been involved in it. You see that? It would have just been a mess if man was involved in it. Now, folks, you just stop and think about all of these denominations and all of these churches that we have in our world today. You just stop and think about all the different interpretations of the Bible and all the different things that men have done. Men have come along over the centuries, throughout the centuries, and they have said, I just don't know that I like what the record says right there, so I'm going to shove the record aside, and here is what I think it ought to be. Now, folks, listen, I could get into a war right here. The simple truth of the matter is, you don't find El Papa anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere. There is no such thing as a pope in the Bible. None. There is no such thing as Meatless Friday. None. There's no such thing as infant baptism. It's not there. It's not there. But you see, that's convenience for some folks. That's convenience for some folks. And then you've got all these others. You've got these folks that don't believe in the deity of Christ, and they want salvation built upon their denomination or their church. And plain and simple, God said one door. And he said, the reason he said one door is because we learn in the Gospel of John that there is only one door. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. He's not a door. And then Catholicism is another door. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses are another door, and then the Mormons are another door. No, Jesus is the door, the one and only door. And so this door on the side of the ark, well, that's a type of Christ. And I meant to say that all that last week. I might have just run out of time. I don't remember why I didn't do it. But folks, listen, none of these things, the lifeboats, the life rafts, the life preservers, helmets for everybody on board, all that stuff, none of that's mentioned. Why? Because it was not necessary. That's why. Totally unnecessary. God was in control. And so we're going to see tonight, and we're going to see over the next couple of Wednesday nights, that God Almighty provided for the perfect safety of all eight occupants and all the animals that were on that ark. God provided for them, for God Himself was with them in the ark. You see, folks, there was no need for any safety features within the ark, because it was a type of Christ. We learned that last week. The ark itself is a type of Christ. And just as God was with Noah when he was in the ark, so God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:19. All right, so God was in the ark with Noah. Well, God was in Christ when Jesus died on that cross and reconciled the world to himself. Isn't that awesome? Now, one more thing about the door. One more thing for now. Notice again in verse 16, there's no mention of the size of that door. Now, God mentioned the size of the ark, but he did not mention the size of the door. And God gave the dimensions of the length and the width and the height of the ark, but he said absolutely nothing about the dimensions of the door. We have no idea how big that door was. We don't know how tall it was. We don't know how wide it was. And I think this is for a reason. I think it's for a specific, definite reason. You see, since no dimensions are given, we must assume God was saying anyone can enter through the door. Anybody. Doesn't make any difference if you're tall, short, skinny. I say that and I get in trouble. I get emails when I say that, so I'm not going to say it. You know what I mean. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anybody can get through. That's the point. God didn't put a limitation on it and say, make it 8 inches wide. No. No, anybody could get in. And that's exactly the way it is with salvation. No matter how great a sinner one may be, there is still room for that sinner to get on the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how big a sinner you are, John chapter 10 tells us that Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. Now, you know, this always has tickled me. The Pope says that, or the Catholic Church says the Pope has the keys. Well, that's all right. I got the door. You go ahead and have the keys. I got the door. I don't need the keys. I got the door. Amen. Amen. All right, now, let's look at the next thing here. All right, now, we're talking about tonight the record. And I want you to know that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, believed the Genesis record. Now, again, as I mentioned to you last week, the first 11 chapters specifically, but also in our generation, chapters that deal with Sodom and Gomorrah, they are rejected vehemently by the world. Vehemently. And they mock, they laugh. I've told you before how that the first five books of the Bible, the first five books of Moses, have been attacked by the infidels and the skeptics and the modern day scribes and Pharisees. And you would be very hard pressed today in most mainline, I didn't say all, in most mainline denominational churches, you would be hard pressed to find a pastor or a pastorette. Oh, that's going to get the cards and letters coming. But it's true. Would you be hard pressed to find a pastor who believes in these mainline denominational churches that these first five books of the Bible are divinely inspired of God? You're going to be hard pressed to find one. Today's modernist sees the book of Genesis as a book of fables. Stories that are just aggrandized. They do not see Genesis as inspired of Almighty God. They do not see, especially the first 11 chapters, as factual. They don't see it as trustworthy, and as how things really happened. In other words, folks, most, even in religious circles, do not believe the record. You with me? Not yet. Do you understand what I'm saying? They don't believe the record. Now, they see Genesis as fable, as a myth. Now, there are two areas that are hated and despised the most. The first area is what we're studying right now. Noah, the ark, the flood, all because of God's wrath and judgment. They don't like that. So they dismiss it. The second part is the chapters that deal with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they don't like that. And I think it's obvious why they don't like that. All right, so they literally despise these accounts of man's wicked sin and how those sins brought judgment upon the participants. Now, I want you to look again at chapter 6. Look again at verse 5. It says, and God saw the what? The wickedness. Yes, he saw the wickedness of man. That's why the wrath of the flood came. It was judgment upon the wickedness of man. I mean, they don't want to believe that there is a God who will judge sin. They just don't want to believe that. And that's why they go to the extremes of tolerating sin. And now they're to the place where, hey, if you don't agree with them, then you're in trouble. They're calling it now today the cancel culture. And listen, folks, it could get very ugly. It could get very ugly real fast. It has done so before. And it can do it again. And so, they don't like the account of man's sin. They don't like how God, the Bible says that God judged those sins. You see, if they deny that the flood ever happened, or if they deny the wrath of God ever fell upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and upon the abomination and the perversion and the wickedness that was going on there, well, if they can deny that, then they can soothe their own guilt and argue God is not going to judge this wicked abomination that has risen up again in our generation. So they will say, oh, the judgment of the flood, that's just a bunch of old wives' tale. Oh, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's a bunch of foolishness. You don't believe that, do you? Well, there's no evidence that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire. Yeah, there is. You go over there, and you go down to the end of the Dead Sea, and you will see brimstone. You will see ash. You can walk over to the side of a hill, stick your hand in it, and it just crumbles in your hand. And then you put your hand up, smell it, and that's the last time you'll stick your hand up and smell it. Because it smells like sulfur. It is nasty. And you can get up on top of those mountains we have never been. I've asked if we could do it, but they won't let you up there because it's too dangerous. They don't want to take a bus up there. They want you to walk if you go. I ain't walking. Now, when I was younger, I would have done it, but I ain't doing it now. Because I ain't dragging some of you with me. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to put you on my back and carry you up there. And some of y'all will go, nope, I ain't going. But you can get up there and look over and you can see the outline of an ancient city. You can see it. With a temple. With walls. With gates. And now it's all covered in ash and brimstone, sulfur. It's all covered. You say, well, I wonder what covered it. Do you have to ask? Do you have to ask? I mean, it's right there in the Bible, just as clear as it can be. All right, so God did send the fire and the brimstone out of heaven, and he did destroy those Sodomites, killing them all. But when the Lord Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, what did he think about the record? Well, let's take our Bible for just a minute and go over to the New Testament, to the book of Luke. All right, the book of Luke. There's a prayer request I missed. I knew there was one I was missing too. Put Wayne Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W, Wayne Morrow. He goes to church down at Arlington, and he and his wife went to one of our Israel trips with us. Wonderful guy, great guy, and an excellent soul winner as well. But Wayne Morrow, put his name on your list, please. All right, let's go over to Luke 17. All right, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. 2,000 years ago. Folks, I want you to know that in this chapter, chapter 17, the Lord Jesus went out of his way to put his seal of the merit and the truth and the veracity of those events that were described back in the book of Genesis. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, look, please, at chapter 17 and verse 26. Jesus says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of who?
Noah.
In other words, folks, Jesus believed Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. He believed it. He believed that it happened. You say, well, wonder why he believed it? Because it was all about him. That's why. It was all a picture of him and what he would bring to the table for all of us sinners. He is our ark of safety. All right, look at verse 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the what?
Ark.
Now, if this was a myth, do you think the Lord Jesus would have stated these words? I mean, he called Noah by name. And then he said, entered into the ark. Wow, that must mean that The Lord Jesus sure believed in the account of Noah and of the flood. All right. Well, how about the miracle of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? You say miracle? Yeah. Fire came down out of heaven. That doesn't happen every day. Right? Now, I've seen it lightning, but I've never seen fire come down out of heaven and destroy something. There have been a few times I thought it was going to, but I never have seen it yet. All right, so look at verse 28. All right, just go down a couple of verses. Look at this. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Well, that kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. But then notice verse 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And then the Lord Jesus said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, when Jesus comes back on the clouds, the trumpet sounds, and we go to heaven. Amen. So you see, folks, it is clear that Jesus believed the Genesis account. It is clear, I repeat, that that the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation were given with the primary purpose of revealing Jesus, showing us Jesus. It starts all the way back with in the beginning. That's where we started, if you remember. And it goes all the way through to even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And everything in between those two verses is all shining the light of this, God's word, upon Jesus. It just takes the light and shines it, and you see Jesus standing there. I mean, folks, listen, think about this. I get these questions all the time. What about all those atrocities in the Bible? What about all that? Well, that just shows you how bad mankind needs a Savior. Shows you just how wicked men are. I don't condone what those birds did. I don't like the idea of slaughtering people. But that's our world, isn't it? And it's been our world from the beginning. What about the atrocities? What about the record of the slaughter of innocent people? What about the immorality like in Sodom and Gomorrah? What about the violence of men as well as the violence of nations? Why is all that have to be recorded in the Bible? I mean, do we really need that? Well, folks, yes, we do. Because that shows the need of salvation, and it shows the hopeless depravity of the natural human heart. So, yeah, it needs to be there so we understand that when God sends judgment like a flood, or when God sends judgment like a tribulation period. Because you see, when Noah was safely on the ark, the flood came. And then when the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds, and then the church is safely in heaven, then the tribulation comes. You got judgment. All right? Now, 2020's been bad, but folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. Read Revelation 6 through 18. Man, there has never been anything like that. And that's what's coming. That's what's coming. I think it's clear, folks, that our Savior believed the Genesis account and believed these events. So I repeat that the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation were given for the primary purpose of revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Every part of this revelation, this record that God has given us, every single part has some bearing upon His person, upon His character, or upon His mission. Every single passage. All right. Well, we're out of time, and if I get started on this. All right, one more little thing. All right, go back to Genesis 6. I think I can squeeze this in here. Look at Genesis 6. I want to show you something neat. Let's see, who's got a good, strong voice? Bill, look up Proverbs 22:6, and when I ask you to stand up and turn around and read it, pull your mask down and read it. All right? Look, please, at chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 3. It says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. So God told Noah, 120 years. You got 120 years to build this boat. And then wham, I'm going to strike. All right, look please at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Wow. Boy, God was upset, wasn't he? He was upset. You see, folks, the wickedness. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say. The wickedness of man had become so great, God decided it was time to step in and stop it. It was time. All right? God had revealed his plan. This is where I need you to listen. God had revealed his plan some 2,000 years earlier to Adam. When Adam first sinned, God revealed his plan of salvation to Adam in the slaying of a substitutionary lamb as an offering for sin. The sacrifice of the animals provided a covering, an atonement for Adam and for Eve. Now, as I said a moment ago, Adam's responsibility was to teach his offspring. You with me? And then it was their responsibility to train and teach their offspring about what God's plan was. Nod your head. You with me on that? All right, Bill, stand up and read. Proverbs 22:6. Listen to this.
Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
All right. You know what that's telling me, folks? They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Somewhere along the line, Adam let up. Somewhere, I don't know if Cain said, Dad, leave me alone. I know what you want. Dad, leave me alone. I can do this. But left to himself, Cain did the wrong thing, didn't he? And Abel was killed. And so they had to have another child whose name was Seth, and he had to grow up and then get married and then start a family, and then he had to train his children. So now you've got two lines, two families up on the earth. You've got one, the descendants of Cain, and boy, they're wicked as they can be. And then you've got the descendants of Seth, and they were the quote unquote godly line. All right? Now, 2,000 years pass. 2,000 years between Adam and the flood. And in that 2,000 years, the Bible says right here that God looked upon the wickedness of man. You see, folks, this evil line of Cain affected the godly line of Seth. You get down here to where it's time to get on the ark. One man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Whew. Now that puts a little bit different spin on the wickedness of mankind, does it not? Amazing. All right, we'll pick up here next time. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. What a wonderful book this is. And Father, that we can sit here and compare Scripture with Scripture. And we can take the Old Testament and look at then at the New Testament. We can see your record clear as a bell. And Father, I pray that you will bless what's been said tonight. Stir our hearts with it, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.